T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, you can watch Mark DeRosa co-host the MLB Network's MLB Central with Robert Flores and Lauren Shahadi. And the three hosts will have their own bobblehead, which I have here scaring me on the desk, coming out, which will be given to the first 2,000 fans. Actually, it's very, 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 very sharp. At the Brooklyn Cyclone game tomorrow night at MCU Park. And remember, fans, you never know. DeRosa could be anybody's manager, yours, anybody's, at any time. So at any time, he could jump in and be your manager. So just have some respect when he shows up at your ballpark. Mark, what's going on?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. Thank you. So now I see you're going out to the Cyclones, and you're going to be handing out these little bobbleheads, huh? Are you going to be there at least when you go? Are you going to go?
We're throwing out the first pitch.
Oh, you are? Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Is there any significance to it being the Cyclones?
I just think they have a great relationship with the network.
Okay.
And, you know, wanted to do a promotion, a giveaway, first 2,000 fans. So we're going to go out there and shake some hands and meet some of the fans and throw out the first pitch. And Edgardo Alfonso over there and the boys. And then check out a little short season minor league baseball.
All right. We don't have much American League to talk about. Really, we have nothing. Well, let me ask you this. The reason why the race in the East is over. Race is over in the East. The race is over in the Central. The three teams in the West are all going to the playoffs, and away we go. The Yankees aren't going to blow the wild card. Because the Mariners and the A's play each other 9 times, so that the Yankees gain every time they play each other. They have a much harder schedule, so the Yanks can kind of coast and try to get themselves righted for their 1-game playoff. So let me ask this: are you at all concerned that Houston with the injuries, or do you think they'll right the ship in September? And I never thought they were going to win 100 games this year. I picked them as an under because I just thought, you know what, things happen the year after you win. I don't care. It's just human nature. Things happen the year after you win. It's not the same year. So I didn't think they'd win 100. I thought they'd win their division, but they might not even win their division now the way Oakland's playing. How shocked are you by Oakland?
I'm not shocked by Oakland because I felt at the beginning of the year their lineup made a lot of sense. It had a lot of flow to it. Some good veterans like Jed Lowry and Jonathan LaCroix to kind of combat some of the younger at-bats. And they've gotten better, man. Matt Chapman, kid's a stud. Matt Olson's a stud. Chris Davis, I don't think the world knows how many home runs this guy has hit. So the lineup I'm not shocked by. I love what Billy Bean has done addressing the bullpen. He's got like 3 or 4 closers down there, even though Familia kind of stepped on his toes a little bit last night. I just don't understand after Manaea how they're going to piece together a 5-game series. But they've been able to do it all year so far and kind of – I mean, it's Manaea, Mike, and then it's 4 guys who weren't even in Oakland A's uniforms in like mid-March. Pretty amazing.
Do you think as a threat to the Yankees – is Seattle more of a threat because of the 1-game pitching scenario, or is Oakland more of a threat because they're a better team?
I just, something's telling me, my gut's telling me Oakland's the bigger threat. Now, that being said, I would definitely trust James Paxton on the mound. I think he would handle the moment maybe a little bit better than Sean Manaea on the big stage in Yankee Stadium, but that remains to be seen. I think the bigger question for me is how much pressure, again, is going to be placed on the Yankees. Is Severino, are we worried about Severino?
Yes, you should be. If you're not, you're stupid.
Hey, listen,
right now I don't know who the Yankee starter is in that game. Maybe it's Tanaka. Maybe it's Severino. Maybe it's Hap. Who knows who it is? Whoever's throwing best, I'm putting them out there. Whoever's throwing best 7 weeks from now is getting the start.
That time. Yeah, that's the thing. I wake up this morning, if I'm Aaron Boone, and I'm telling myself Severino's still the guy, and he's got 40-plus games left or 50-plus games left to prove me different. But if he continues to struggle down the stretch, yeah, I completely
You know
agree
what I do with them if I'm Severino? Let's be honest. The Yankees have 7 weeks now to get ready to play one game. They're going to be in the playoffs. We know it. Because they have a huge advantage schedule-wise. They're going to be in the playoff. We know that. They're not catching the Red Sox. We know that. So the Yankees have 7 weeks to play one game. I would put Severino on the DL for 10 days and just give him some rest and see if I can get him built up.
Just let him work on some
things.
Yeah,
just let him get built up after that. Just let's maybe, because maybe he's a little arm weary.
You know what, Mike? That's not a bad idea, to be honest with you. I think I've mentioned that on the show. I think the bigger question for me is I want the lineup back. I want Judge back in the lineup. And has anybody, and I hate always beating on, you know, some negative vibe here, but has anybody received preseason MVP votes and had a worse run than Gary Sanchez?
No, he's had a terrible year. Yeah.
Is there any hopes that in September he rights the ship?
I don't know. Is he in shape?
Fifth or sixth in my lineup, I feel pretty darn good about it.
You know, is he in shape? I mean, listen, he's a tremendously good hitter. We all know that. He's just got to get his act together. The Yankees miss Judge a lot. The Yankees had three players in my mind who I thought couldn't come out of the lineup for long times. And it was Judge 1, Didi 2, and I thought Torres 3. And Torres has hit a wall here. He really has
hit a wall.
Yeah.
And he's allowed Andujar to go past him.
Andujar.
In my eyes, that's the rookie.
Because Andujar, although he's not a great fielder, and he's cost him dearly in some spots, like if he made the play, Chapman was the culprit against the Red Sox, but Andujar could have made a throw and got out of that game. I mean, but, you know, listen, he's not a great third baseman. But as far as him being steady, he's been much steadier and much more dangerous lately. Torres has really hit a wall.
I completely agree with you, and the funny thing was, coming out of Tampa, coming out of spring training, is all we heard about Andujar is little shoddy defensively and can't handle anything that spins. Well, I've watched him over the last couple of months.
The second one's not true anymore, yes.
The second one is a lie.
Yes.
Both ways, because I've seen him turn on some sliders and hit some bombs.
I've been a Bird supporter, but I have to admit I got to see more.
Are we wrong in that?
Maybe, you know, I was watching him last night getting blown away, and I'm saying, man, you know, maybe he's not as good as I thought. I'm starting to second guess myself a little bit on him, I have to admit.
And when I watch, the Yankees lineup, it seems like there's a lot of flow to it. From Gardner makes a ton of sense, and Torres and Andujar, and then Greg Bird comes up, and you look at the screen, and it's like, man, this guy, like you said, leaves you wanting more. I mean, he had some moments in the postseason last year where he hit a couple big home runs, but he also hit $1.90 in the postseason.
Absolutely true. And listen, he's not been good, I have to admit it. And the Yankees wouldn't have a problem playing Walker at first base in a big postseason game. They wouldn't.
I think all hands on deck for Aaron Boone right now. I think this is the first time he's faced a little bit of adversity where, you know, people are starting to question the Yanks a little bit.
Yes.
I look at it the reverse. Can you run that hot for that long? Can Boston run that hot for that long? Same with Oakland. Because for me, Mike, the best day of the year is when you clinch and you know you're in a division series, and whether it's at home or on the road, you have that little kind of walkthrough day where the weather starts getting a little cool, and you realize you're getting ready to be the only show in town. And what I love about that is, as good as teams go and as hot as they go, we all start over. And that mindset kind of flushes over you during that kind of touch-and-feel walkthrough BP session where I don't care if it's the Boston Red Sox coming to town. I watched the Houston Astros and Alex Bregman jump him early in Fenway last year. Why couldn't that be the same case?
We're talking with Mark DeRozan. I'll tell you this. The Yankees in 98 were 90-30. This team's 85-35. 50 games over 500 is remarkable. The difference is that Yankee team didn't have a weakness. This Red Sox team doesn't have great starting pitching behind Sale. And number two does not have a great bullpen. So those guys have to play great in that. Now, that lineup is great. It's great. It's got, and they use their speed, which no one else uses anymore. They really use their speed, which becomes a big weapon because teams aren't used to it anymore when someone comes in and runs all. I mean, they ran the Yankees out of Fenway Park that weekend. I mean, they embarrassed them. They ran on CeCe because he never throws the first. They ran on the catch. They ran on everybody. I mean, they embarrassed the Yankees with those with
and
the way they ran.
They're gonna come in with the exact same game plan. I think for me, I mean, you kind of give the fact that Sale's going to pitch his game, and if you can scratch two or three across against him and hopefully get to the bullpen, and if you match Severino up, you feel good about
it. Don't be surprised if Cleveland comes out of the American League this year. I would not be surprised if they get the bullpen healthy.
They've played in the weeds all year?
All year. They haven't had and they've tried to get the bullpen healthier, and if they get Miller back in the postseason, that team could be very dangerous.
Brad Hand, I'm with you. I still have a hard time believing at full strength with a healthy Altuve. Correa figures it out. My boy McCann comes off the DL and he's able to kind of massage the starting rotation that the Houston Astros don't go deep again.
Talking with Mark DeRosa. All right, National League. Are we convinced now?
Where are we going?
Are you convinced? I want to go here first. Are you convinced now it's a two-horse race between Atlanta and Philly and Washington's out, or do you still think Washington has one more bullet to fire?
I think Washington's got one more bullet to fire. I know that's the safe answer. We've had a couple people at, like, when's enough enough? Seven with more than a month left is doable.
Who do you favor there? Gun to your head, who do you favor to win it? You got to pick one or the other. So why Philly over Atlanta?
The homer in me wants to pick Atlanta, but right. I just trust Arrieta and Nola at the front end of the rotation. Even though Braves' starting rotation has been darn good, and the emergence of Acuna and some of these young stars.
Acuna, since he's gone in the leadoff spot, has been crazy.
And Philly don't play D. That scares me. In the postseason, I want to make sure my pitching and my defense is on point. But that being said, if I can stick Nola on the mound, if I can stick Arrieta on the mound, and this Pivetta kid, I want to see him pitch tonight against Boston and break out the nasty curveball. I just think the Phillies might be their time.
All right, Central?
Cubs.
All right.
I still don't understand what Milwaukee did. They're the most intriguing team in the National League for me because last year they didn't go out and get a starting pitcher. Not that that would have been the be-all, end-all for them to win that division, but they ended up coming a game short. This year, they find themselves in the same exact spot at the deadline. They went out and got Moustakas, Scope, and just made Craig Counsell's job a heck of a lot harder to try and piece together a lineup and a defense when you needed a starter. And they're three games back again, and I want to understand what they're trying to accomplish.
All right. Now, West, who do you think wins the division?
Dodgers.
Okay. Why?
I'm a little nervous about the Kenley Jansen situation.
How about last night? How about the Kershaw game last night? 2-1 the ninth, and they give up four runs in the ninth inning after Kershaw pitches that game.
But, Mike, we're watching guys take the ball from Dave Roberts, and through no offense, I wasn't some all-star baseball player, but I don't know some of these guys coming out of the Dodgers bullpen. And they're asking them to close games. Alex,
I mean, that's a killer last night.
Those are killers.
How do you walk in that locker room and face him last night when you're up 2-1 going in the ninth and you give up four runs in the ninth inning?
You know what? They're going to move Stripling to the pen. They're going to move Maeda to the pen. Neither of them are closers. I made the suggestion today I might take the Walker Buehler kid and just let it eat for two innings at the back end and see what we get there until when Jansen comes back, maybe you make the switch back.
All right, so you're going Philly, Chicago, and the Dodgers to win. Okay, now, the wild card, I can go eight deep. If I go six games out, I can go eight deep in the wild card. Who are your favorites in your mind with the guys you gave? Are you giving Atlanta, Philly? Since you picked the Philly, are you giving Atlanta a wild card? Are you giving Milwaukee a wild card? Those two have the wild cards right now, but then six teams are within four games of the second wild card. If you do it that way,
I'm going to go gutsy pick here because I picked them in the beginning of the year, and I don't know why I'm staying with them because their bullpen has been an absolute disaster.
You're going Colorado, right?
I'm going to go Colorado, Atlanta.
Colorado's been winning some games, so you've always liked Colorado.
I just felt they got a taste last year. I like their offense. I like the fact that they went out and re-signed Charlie Blackmon mid-season and made him a signature part of what they're trying to accomplish. I like that their starters have given them length, but Black knows how to massage a staff. Their bullpen was supposed to be a strength.
How about the Redbirds?
Yeah, they're scary, huh? 17 and 6 since this guy has taken over Schilt.
And they seem to love him.
And moving Carlos Martinez to the bullpen.
And they seem to love the guy.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things.
Well, for whatever reason, I didn't realize they didn't like Matheny that much. I was surprised that that was the case. I mean, listen, you never know. And the player, I'm always of the opinion the players aren't always right either. I mean, the players like to whine no matter what it is. You know, they whine if the guy's soft. They whine if the guy's tough. They whine all the time. It's never their fault. I mean, so we know that. So I don't think
that type of personality. And I'm talking as a manager. I know Mike away from the field, and I think he's a completely different guy probably than the way he managed. I think the guys want – I never interacted on a day-to-day basis with Lou Piniella or Bobby Cox or – I didn't do that. And then towards the end of my career, I started playing for a little bit, I guess you would say, for lack of a better word, more lenient, more loose managers than like a John Gibbons, who I did form a great relationship with. And it made the day go by a little bit better. But this younger generation, they want to be able to interact with their skipper, kind of like Alex Cora. They don't want it to be someone that they feel is unapproachable and can't walk into the office.
Interesting.
Now, I don't know if Matheny gave that impression, but everything I read says that that was the impression that was given.
You know, so they're playing well, though. Are they playing well enough to get in the playoffs now?
I personally don't think so. I think they started a little late. I don't trust their defense. I don't trust their bullpen. Asking a lot. I think Milwaukee's a better team this year than they are, but put the St. Louis Cardinals away.
Is Martinez lock MVP, or does Betts have a chance to unseat him for the MVP?
I think Betts has a chance to unseat him. See, but I'm different. I'm a guy who thinks the MVP does not have to go to the guy with the best numbers, even though it potentially is J.D. Martinez. I just think he's changed and allowed Mookie to flourish in that leadoff spot. We were asking Mookie to hit 3-4 last year, and it put a lot of pressure on him and asked him to do things he didn't want to do. You put J.D. in that lineup, and everyone said this is the perfect fit for Boston. Well, I mean, good God, I didn't think we thought he was going to do what he's doing. So for me, he's the guy right now. And we had to argue.
And who wins the NL? NL? You think Baez?
I certainly think Baez is up there. I certainly think Freddie Freeman and Nick Markakis might cancel each other out there.
I would give it to Freddie Freeman because
you really would.
I think he's that good a player, and I think he makes that team. I think he completely made. I think that team would fall apart without Freddie Freeman.
He's been there through the lean years, and it's kind of taken the emergence of something.
Oh, it has. They had to put some talent around him, but he's still the guy on that team. He's still the guy that scares you in the big spot.
Baez stands out to me because Rizzo scuffled the majority early part of the season. Bryant's been down. There's kind of been a flux in how Joe Maddon likes to use his lineup. But Baez has stayed strong, driven in a bunch of huge runs, hit some big homers. He might steal it.
He could, and I'll give you Carpenter doesn't have enough RBIs, but if he gets some more RBIs, considering what he's done in the second half, he could be a candidate.
And if they keep playing the way they're playing and make some serious noise.
I mean, if he winds up with an OPS over one and, you know, he gets his RBI total up, he could wind up winning it.
That's my argument, though. Giancarlo, last place or next to last place last year, 59 homers. Yeah, he's probably the best offensive player in the game, but does that make you the most valuable?
All right, would you change your teams now from the start of the season, or are you going with the same team?
No, I'm staying with Houston, L.A. until someone unseats.
Are you worried about Houston's injuries?
Yeah, I'm worried about it, but I kind of like the calm before the storm. I feel like as tough as things have gone, I don't. as tough as things have gone for them, I think they right the ship in time to kind of win the division. I didn't like the Ozuna. They didn't need that, in my opinion.
All right, we're talking about Mark DeRosa. He will be out at the Cyclones when they give away 2,000 bobbleheads to the first 2,000 people, and then the 2,001 to 3,000, they get two of each. They get two of these instead of one.
Can you pick me out yet?
No, yeah, I can. Now, here's the thing. Does this look like you in your estimation?
Yes.
Does it look like Lauren Shahadi?
Lauren was the toughest one.
Is she happy with hers?
Lauren's happy with it. The problem is Lauren normally wears her hair down, and for construction of the bobblehead, that wasn't an option.
So, oh, okay. You had to have hair up in the bobblehead. I was not aware of that.
I had to have the hair up in
the bobblehead. Gotcha. So in the bobblehead, the hair has to be up in a bun if you're going to have... Oh, gotcha. Okay, that's bobblehead lore. I wasn't aware of that, okay? And the guy on the right, Flores, is he happy with his bobblehead?
He's happy with it.
He is?
Yeah.
So you're all happy with your bobbleheads?
We're great.
Okay.
It's our first bobblehead as a show. We're ecstatic.
That is great. Congratulations on that. You know that? And really, it's wonderful.
You have a bobblehead?
I never have had one. Zero. I would never allow one.
Hey, one thing I want to say to you real quick.
What's that? So
you were taking questions yesterday.
Yes.
And they were talking about Steph Curry playing golf, and
yes,
he took a shot at my boy Smoltz.
I did not take a shot at Smoltz. What I said was ask Smoltz. Smoltz is a great golfer, and when he went out on the senior tour to compete, what happened? He got eaten alive. He got eaten alive. My point is, when people think that you can go out and hit the ball and play golf where they put the pins on those courses for those pros, you are out of line. You can't.
Absolutely. He said to me, I played with him soon after that, and he said, D-Ro, if you're not in the fairway, minimum bogey.
And not only that, if you missed your mark on the green by 1 yard, you are getting in trouble on the green. Think about it when we play. Think about when we play and we hit the ball on the green, we're happy. Okay?
Yep.
If you hit the ball 1 yard from where you're supposed to, the way they put the pins when they play, it's trouble. You'll wind up down the gully somewhere and get a 7. Listen, one thing that I tell people all the time that I've learned through all these years is how, and I told my kids this, they'll say, oh, Dad, typical kids, you take them to the game, they're like, Dad, I don't know who that player is. I mean, I want to meet, you know, the big star, you know what I mean? I say, do you realize how good, when I've taken them on the field, take them up to the 25th player and say, do you realize how great this guy is to be here? How talented he is to be here? When you're the 25th, as you know, you were a player. You guys, to get there, are so good. It's ridiculous just to get there. And the guys in each sport, to think anyone can walk into their sport as someone who has not lived their sport and compete is stupid. That's all it is. It's dumb.
People think they can do it in golf because
it's golf. They can't do it. Just like that would be like, oh, Michael Jordan, he was going to play baseball. I told everybody he was going to hit 150. Michael Jordan's one of the greatest athletes in the world. He's also a basketball player. He's not a baseball player. You couldn't play in the NBA. Okay, he can't play in your game.
I'm with you. It's made him a better golfer. He goes, because it's humbled me so much that I want it even more now.
And I have great respect for Smoltz. Smoltz is a great golfer, and he found out something else, that those guys aren't great. They're so far past great, it's ridiculous.
It's just the hours. People don't see the stuff you do when no one's around.
I was sitting with Joe LaCava once, who I know very well, who's come in and done this show with me many times, who's Tiger Woods' caddy now. He was Freddie Couples' caddy. And I said, Joey, how precise do you have to be with Freddie? And he'd go, well, I'll give you an idea, Mike. I would say, Freddie, it's 161 and a quarter. I said, get out. He goes, no, I'd say it's 161 and a quarter and you want to spin it. Think about that. 161 and a quarter.
And then if they don't hit that number, they turn to their caddy like it's their
fault. Mean, think about it. You don't even say, oh, it's about 160, 165, 161 and a quarter. Give me a break. Give me a. I said, you could tell me he can hit at 160 and 161. He goes, oh, yeah, definitely. I said, get out of here. Think about that for a second. I understand it's Fred Couples, but think about Tiger Woods. You tell him it's 171 with a little spin. I mean, he hits it 171.
Yeah, that was awesome to see him back in contention.
Amazing what he did. And that was not a shot at Smoltz. That was basically saying, go ask Smoltz how easy it is.
He told me to give you some grief.
Well, tell him that. Explain to him what I was doing was telling him that something that I bet you he found out in a hurry, you can't go play somebody else's sport. It's too hard. And Curry would go out and shoot the same 83 he shot. That's my point.
They set the course up so hard.
Hard.
To be Mike, one of my good buddies in the world is Gary Woodland.
Yep.
Met him about 10 years ago. We hit it off. We play a ton of golf.
And how good is he? He hits it a mile.
I don't even want to play.
He hits it a mile, Woodland.
Hits it a mile, and he got to walk next to Tiger Woods Sunday at the PGA.
And he
played well.
He did. That was a tough thing for him to play in that with those crowds and with everybody rooting for Tiger. That was not an easy thing for him to do to play. That was a great experience, I'm sure. He'd probably tell you some stories about what went on there that day.
I can't wait to hear.
Hitting a ball in front of 100 cameras, you know, all clicking as soon as you hit the ball. I mean, you know how Tiger is. Tiger walks with 100 cameras following him.
Yep.
It's a whole different world when you're with in his two, and when you're in his duo, it's a whole different world.
Completely.
Absolutely. So tell Smoltz I wasn't getting on him. I was just making a point.
You got it.
I was making a point. And listen, I didn't expect him to play well when he went there. I really didn't. I think it's too hard to switch sports. I think I've never seen anybody go to anybody else's sport and play well.
I thought he was going. I called him that night, and I thought he was not going to answer. I thought, he's going to be frustrated, upset, disappointed, embarrassed, whatever. He picked up the phone. D-Row, what an experience. Yeah, I got exposed. I got a lot to work on. I didn't hit the ball terrible, but if you're in the rough, it's not like, hey, I'm in the rough, I'm 200 yards, let me hit a 6-iron or a 5-iron and get it up to the green. He's like, you can't advance it.
Can't advance it, and then when you don't, and then if you ever hit that on the green or out of the rough, it's going right off the green anyway.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world. You know that? It just is. And that's the same thing for you guys. If anyone said to me, oh, I'm going to go play Major League Baseball, yeah, you'll go up there and you'll hit 120. That's what you'll do.
I wish every fan in the stands had the opportunity to come out and to just stand in the box.
Oh, my God.
Mariano Rivera.
How about Chapman? Or how about Chapman?
I always say that. Mariano Rivera was the most wake-up moment for me in the big leagues.
Really?
Because when he threw – because you watched him warm up. And you're like, oh, I can get to this guy. It doesn't look like it's hot like Chapman. Right.
And then it's on you.
It starts at your rib cage, so you like close your eyes like you're going to get pelted in the ribs, and next thing you know, the umpire's calling a strike.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's why it worked for all those years, right?
Exactly.
Maddox did the same thing to the lefties, right? With that thing, he'd throw it right on. Looked like it was going to hit him.
Yeah, at the front hip.
Yeah, looked like it was going to hit him, and it went over the plate.
Off that, and see you later.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. Enjoy your bobblehead day.
Here we go.
Enjoy it. Have fun.
I will.
Okay.
Big day.
See you later.
All right.
Mark DeRosa back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.